Well, good morning, everyone. We'll make a wee start just to our service this morning by singing together the Psalm number 84, verses 1 to 6, and then also verses 11 and 12 of the Psalm. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me, the tabernacles of thy grace. How pleasant, Lord, they be. My thirsty soul longs vehemently, yea, faints thy courts to see. My very heart and flesh cry out, O living God, for thee. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our heart to the glory of the Lord. Let us stand as we sing. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord, praying that we'll know the Lord's help and blessing, and that His presence would be a known and felt reality in our time of worship here this morning. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we come before Thee the Sabbath morning, and we come in no merit of our own. We realize, O God, that Thy Word tells us that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of Thee, the Holy God of heaven. Yet, O God, we thank Thee today for that merciful and gracious acceptance that we have before Thee, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of sinners, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And, O God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee, O God, today for Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. We thank Thee, O God, for Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank Thee, O God, that Christ was without sin. He was without blemish. Thy Word tells us that He is indeed the altogether lovely One. And, Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that He died the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And, Father, we rejoice, O God, today in Thy mercy, in Thy grace and love and salvation that has been revealed unto us, the sinful sons of Adam's race, in and through the person and through the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We thank Thee that Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And Lord, we thank Thee for the shed blood of Christ, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin, that makes us whiter than the snow. And Father, we rejoice, O God, today that we are accepted in the Beloved, that we can call Thee Abba, our Father, that we can approach unto Thee in prayer, knowing that the way of access has been made for us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. And O God, our Father, as we come before Thee this day, we praise Thee and thank Thee for all Thy mercies and blessings and goodness to us, even since we've last met together here in this fashion. We thank Thee for the temporal mercies and provisions of life that Thou dost give to us. But, O God, we thank Thee most of all for all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ our Redeemer. We thank Thee, O God, today that when we're saved, we can rejoice in the great hope of heaven, the great hope of glory. We can rejoice in grace that is sufficient for our every need. And, Father, we thank Thee that we have in Christ that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And Father, we thank Thee today as Your people we can rejoice in the forgiveness and in the pardon of all of our sins. The Lord, Thy Word declares that the blood of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And O God, we thank Thee today for the privilege of gathering together here in Thy house with Thy people around Thy Word. And Father, we thank Thee for that great promise of Christ, when He said, wherever My people gather together in My name, there am I in the midst. And we pray that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of Thy presence. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art the sun and the shield of Thy people. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art One who has promised to withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. And Father, we thank that Thou art One that has promised Thy people to give them grace to live the Christian life, and then the great hope of glory for all of eternity. Lord, we thank Thee for all who have been able to join with us here today. Bless every believer, every child of Thine in this house today. Encourage the saints of God. For any, Lord, going through times of difficulty and testing, Lord, strengthen them and uphold them by Thy grace and power. For any, Lord, that might be needing a word of counsel or guidance, we pray that Thou wilt direct them, that Thou wilt lead them in the way that Thou wilt have them to go, we ask. And Lord, for any who might be cold at heart, give that restoring, reviving touch that comes from the Lord. And Lord, for any with us today not saved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even today, by Thy grace and power, that they might come in faith and in repentance and trust the Lord, whom to know is life eternal. We thank Thee that Thou art a God of mercy, Thou art a God of grace, Thou art the God of salvation. And Father, we thank that Christ has promised, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. We're mindful of those today who cannot be with us because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt touch them, and lay Your healing hand, O God, upon them and raise them up. And remember others that mourn and grieve today, have suffered loss in recent times. May they know the comforting and the strengthening and the sustaining hand of our God to be their portion, we pray. And Father, we do pray, O God, for others today who may be joining with us online
Whoever they are, wherever they might be today, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them also and meet them at the very point of their need, we ask. We thank thee for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning, and bless your word to our children, to our young people. May each one of them be saved and walking in the ways of the Lord, we ask. Again, Lord, we think of the work of the children's work. Remember the Bethel Children's Crusade, the Youth Fellowship, and every other outreach, Lord, from this congregation. We pray that thy hand of blessing shall be upon it, and that thou wilt use it, Lord, to the furtherance of thy kingdom in this community, and indeed further afield. Bless our land, O God, today. Remember all our sister congregations. Remember every minister and student and layman, Lord, who will preach thy word. May they know thy help and thy blessing and thy grace, O God, to be upon them. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, up and down our land, north and south of the border, we think of the British mainland as well, England, Scotland, and Wales. Lord, have mercy upon these islands where we live. And Father, we pray that thou wilt come in revival power and in reformation grace, even as in former times, O God, we pray. Again, Lord, we pray for our Queen today and our royal family, that thou wilt have mercy, Lord, upon them, that the light of thy word and the light of thy truth would shine into that household, we pray. We thank thee for our long and faithful reign. We pray that she might be encouraged in the ways of the Lord. Do remember, Lord, those that rule over us in our land and in our nation. May they realize, O God, their great responsibility to rule in righteousness and in accordance with thy word. And Father, we pray that thou would be even be pleased to touch the hearts of those and the government of our land, that there might be a turning unto thee and to thy word and to thy truth and to the ways of the Lord our God, we pray. Again, Lord, we pray for our missionaries, Lord, that thou wilt bless them today, those at home and those far from home, Lord. Keep your protecting hand upon them. We pray for thy persecuted church today, Lord. We think of many, Lord, that cannot meet in freedom and liberty such as this. And we pray that thou wilt watch over them, that thou wilt protect them and meet their every need, and that thou wilt use them for the glory and for the honor of thy name. Remember our land and our nation. Put thy restraining hand upon this pandemic at this time. And we think of those that may be ill with it. May they know thy healing touch, Lord, from it. And we think of our medical services, that they would know thy protecting hand upon them. And that even our government, Lord, as they would deal with this situation week by week, that they might know thy wisdom and the guiding hand of our Lord. Father, we leave these matters now with thee. Close us in, Lord, with thyself. Help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, Lord. Grant that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips, Lord, would be acceptable, O God, in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Do every heart much good. Visit this house today with thy salvation, and glorify the Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to turn this morning, please, in God's Word for our scripture reading to the Old Testament book of the Psalms. We're turning to Psalm 124, reading that psalm through in its entirety, and then turning also over to the New Testament book of John's Gospel, John's Gospel chapter 10, reading some verses beginning at the verse number 9 of John's Gospel chapter 10. So if you'd like to just mark both those passages of Scripture, reading first of all from Psalm 124, and then turning over to John's Gospel chapter 10, and the verse number 9 of that chapter. We'll read first of all from Psalm 124. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when the wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who have not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And then turning over to the New Testament book of John's Gospel, John's Gospel chapter number 10, and the verse number 9, here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Then moving on down to verse 29 of the chapter, here again the Lord is speaking, and he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 29. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. And at this stage of our meeting, we want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning. In the Lord's great name, it's good to see all have been able to gather with us here today. And we bid you all a very warm word of welcome and the Lord's great name. And indeed, if you're visiting with us, it's always a joy to visit us, to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home today, and you'll know the rich blessing of the Lord as you gather with us today around God's word, and as we worship the Lord together. If you're here today and you're not saved, our prayer is that even today you'll come to put your faith and trust in the Lord. And if you're a believer, may you be strengthened and blessed and led on in the ways of the Lord. Welcome also those that may be viewing online, wherever you are, wherever you're from. We pray that you too will know the rich blessing of the Lord being your portion around God's word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember the evening prayer meeting tonight in the prayer room at the rear there at 6:30. Encourage as many as possible to gather for the season of prayer. And then the gospel meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll be long to bring God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Do remember that today, being the first Sunday of the month, is building fund offering. So do remember that, please. Remember that special offering. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study here in the church. We commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather for the season of prayer and Bible study. Our brother, Mr. Ronnie McLean, will be taking the meeting on Tuesday evening. I have another meeting to attend to. So do remember, brother, as he comes, pray for him. Come along and encourage him around God's word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Friday night, 6:30, is the weekly children's meeting. Be much in prayer for that. Encourage the boys and girls along. Remember the other meetings as well, and Maguire's Bridge and Tresna during the week. And pray for all involved, and pray for Gillian and all the boys and girls that they know God's help and blessing. And then Friday night, 8 o'clock, the youth fellowship meeting here in the church. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. Really from P7 upward, all young people are welcome and bring their friends along to the fellowship meeting on Friday night. Saturday morning, 11 a.m., it's the monthly open-air witness in the Diamond in Enniskillen with our brother Colin and myself. Do pray for that. And if you're in the town shopping on Saturday morning, join with us there in the square at the Diamond. That's at 11 a.m., just really for half an hour or so. Pray for it and for the tracts as well as they're given out, that God would speak to those that would pass by. Next Lord's Day, the 13th of February, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship at 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. And we'll be long to bring God's word. Monday night week, that's tomorrow night week, the 14th of February at 8 p.m., our ladies' fellowship meeting commences, so do remember that. That's the second Monday of each month, and do be much in prayer for that. It's open to all ladies from the congregation, young, as we've said, middle-aged, senior, whatever bracket you want to put yourself in there, you're more than welcome. Do pray for it. Do make it known. There's wee invites for that out on the table in the porch, and do take those and give them out. And use it even as an outreach to encourage other ladies in under the sound of God's words. Remember that next Monday night, the 14th of February.
This day fortnight, that's the Lord's Day, the 20th of February, both services will be taken by the students from the Whitfield College of the Bible. We always look forward to their visit with us. Pray for them, and that they know God's help. They'll be taking both services on that Lord's Day. There are some copies left there as well, if they let the Bible speak, and Vision magazines. Those magazines are all free. We encourage you to take those, and you'll find good reading there. Those are available out on the table on the porch. Then just as a church and as a congregation, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our deacon, Mr. John Dean, and the homecalling of his mother last week. We also sympathize with John's wife, Bernice, and children, Hannah, Nathan, and the wider family circle. And encourage you to be much in prayer for the family, that they know God's comfort and God's grace and strength at this time of loss and time of bereavement at this time. So remember that family, especially in your prayers. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates are at the rear. Do remember that just as you leave this morning. We're going to sing another hymn. It's 310 in our own hymn book, and it's a great hymn of testimony. It's the second hymn just in the order of service. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, His child, and forever I am. And if you are to be a child of God, if you're to be an heir of heaven, then, dear friend, you need to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. You need the blood of Christ applied by faith to your heart. You need to come and trust in Christ as your Redeemer. We'll keep our seats while we sing, singing it out heartily unto the Lord. Well, turn again, please, to that psalm that we read earlier, to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. And just with God's word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a brief word of prayer, looking to the Lord as we come to his word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we do think especially of those that are born today. We pray for our brother John. Remember Bernice and Hannah and Nathan. We pray for the Dean family and the family circle that thou will comfort them at this time, that thou will fill, O God, the vacant chair with thy presence and grant them to know special help and strength and grace that comes from the sanctuary. We thank thee for the life and testimony of Mrs. Dean, that she had run a good race for the Lord, and that she is with thee, which is far better. And Lord, we think especially, Lord, of family members, maybe those in the wider family circle who knew her and still not see. Lord, speak to them. And even, Lord, through her passing, through her home calling, may they come to know and trust the Lord as their Savior. Bless us now as we turn to thy precious and holy word. We thank that thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we pray today that thou wilt open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law. And that, Lord, like the psalmist of old, that we might hide thy word, O God, in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Lord, use thy word today to the comforting, the strengthening, and the sustaining of every believer in Christ in this gathering. Lord, use thy word to the awakening and to the drawing to Christ for salvation. Every soul in this gathering still not saved. And Lord, use thy word, O God, we pray, to bring honor and glory to our Savior. O God, we ask. Undertake now, we pray. Pour out thy spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Give special help, Lord, to preach thy word. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen and amen. Now, how do we react whenever trouble comes our way in life? How do we respond whenever we receive unwelcome news from some quarter in our life? Yes, these are important questions for each and every one of us to consider and to think about, because trouble and indeed unwelcome news is something that can affect us all in our homes and our families from time to time. Now, whenever such times come, yes, we can blame others. We could maybe blame ourselves. We can also look to others for help and for guidance. We might also, as it were, choose to ignore God, perhaps even blame God. Or we can acknowledge God and we can turn to the Lord and we can seek His help. Well, it goes without saying that that latter course of action is always the best. It is always the wisest course of action to take when trouble and unwelcome news comes our way. Yes, whenever we find ourselves dealing with trouble and unwelcome news, yes, it's vitally important, dear people, that we turn to the Lord, that we seek the Lord, that we invoke the Lord, and that we enlist His help. And my, this is the course of action that David takes in the psalm before us today here in Psalm 124. Now, we do not know the exact time whenever David penned this psalm. There are those who believe that David maybe penned it at that time when, as a young lad, he faced the great giant of Gath, Goliath. There are others of the opinion, and they believe that he penned it when he was fleeing from Saul or fleeing also from his son Absalom during the time of Absalom's rebellion and insurrection. And then there are others, they believe that David perhaps penned the psalm whenever he was at war with Syria and Edom. Whenever it was when David penned these words, the words of the psalm really show us that it was a time of trouble. But it was also a time when God wrought a great deliverance for David and for the people of God. And we see also here that in this deliverance, David is one who gives honor and glory to the Lord for the deliverance that was wrought. Yes, in the psalm here before us, we see David's response.
during a season of trouble in his life. And as we would consider then this response of David to his day of trouble, there are a number of very important lessons for God's people, for the believer in Christ to consider and to think about. First of all, I want you to see here that in his day of trouble, David acknowledges the Lord's companionship. He acknowledges the Lord's companionship. And you see that from verse 1 and verse 2 of the psalm as he writes. He says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when man rose up against us." And there twice over he speaks of the companionship of the Lord. He speaks of the Lord being at his side and being at the side of God's people. And here David, he testifies of the Lord being with him when evil men had risen up against him and against God's people and the cause of the Lord at that particular time. Yes, we see here that in his day of trouble, he acknowledges the companionship of the Lord. And people, here we see the great truth. Here we see the great fact that the Lord does not forsake or cast off his people in their time of trouble. Think again of what the psalmist says about the church of Christ in Psalm 46, verse 5. He says, "God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early." And again, the background to that psalm was a time of trouble and trial for the people of God and the church of Christ. Remember again the words of Moses to God's people in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And there again the thought is that the Lord is one who is the companion of his people. Again, you think today of Christ's farewell message to his disciples. Before he was taken up into heaven, he gave them that wonderful promise. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." What a promise from the Lord to his people. And my, this indeed is the promised portion of the Lord to all his redeemed people, to all who belong to the Lord. Indeed, this is why the hymn writer could say, "Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may feel me, I am still his own." They knew the companionship of the Lord. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said these words. He said, "This is the fundamental thing, the most serious thing of all, that we are always in the presence of the Lord." He knew that the Lord was one who was near his people, the companion of his people. On one occasion, there was a certain university professor, and he was lecturing his students on theology and on the doctrine of God. That lecturer, no doubt, was a God-fearing man. And addressing his students on that occasion, he said these words. He says, "Gentlemen, we must remember that in discussing God, we cannot talk about him without his hearing every word we say. In all our discussions, we must be aware of his infinite presence and talk about him as if he were before our face." Oh, he was a man who knew that the Lord was one who was near his people, was the very companion of his people. And dear child of God, in the meeting this morning, can I say this is how it is with you and I also. The Lord has promised to be with us and to be with us by his Spirit. He says, "Believer, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Child of God, remember today that the Lord is a covenant-keeping God. God does not change. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." And believer, in saving you, the Lord, he cannot cast you off. He cannot cast you away in redeeming you by his blood and saving you by sovereign grace. He cannot forsake you or cast you off. No. Believer, the Lord has promised to be with you along life's journey, and especially in all the troubles and the trials and the burdens of life. Turn with me over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. And look at these tremendous words. Here the Lord is speaking to his people. Believer, here the Lord is speaking to you in the meeting this morning. And in Isaiah 43, in the verse number 1, the Lord says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Look at verse 5 of the same chapter. The Lord says, "Fear not," he says, "for I am with thee." There, dear believer, you have the promise of the Lord to be with you, the covenant-keeping God of Israel. People, can I say this morning, there's no such thing as the Lord saving his people and then the same Lord casting off his people. That teaching is unscriptural. It's not found in the Bible. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to God's people in the church at Philippi. He says, "He which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ." In other words, the Lord who saved them would be with them, would keep them even unto life eternal, to the day of Christ appearing, when Christ comes again in power and in great glory. Therefore, dear child of God, this morning take encouragement in the storms of life. Remember this, that the Lord has promised to be with you. The Lord is indeed your most faithful friend. The Lord is indeed your companion. That companion who will never fail nor forsake nor to cast off his people. Oh, for the Lord to fail and forsake and cast off his people would mean the Lord denying his own name. It would mean the Lord denying his own word. And that is something that the Lord can never do. Yes, in his day of trouble, we see here how David, he acknowledges the Lord's companionship. But you'll see something else here from this psalm. In his day of trouble, you'll see how David, he acknowledges the conquest of the Lord. Look at what he says further on down the psalm, verse 2, down to the end of verse 5. Look at those verses together. He says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul." There you see that David acknowledges the Lord's deliverance, the Lord's victory, the Lord's conquest. And here David tells us how it was the Lord who had delivered him and God's people at that particular time. He says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us." He acknowledges the Lord's help, the Lord's victory. Yes, but for the Lord's intervention here in behalf of David and God's people, the enemy would have overwhelmed David and God's people. The enemy, yes, would have swallowed them up. They would have, as it were, been drowned in the very wrath and the deluge of the ungodly upon them. But that was not the case. David here acknowledges the very fact that the Lord had given victory, and the Lord had been the conqueror of his foes at that particular time. We see here also how the Lord was well able to deliver his people at this time, because he is almighty, he is altogether sufficient. You look at verse 1 of the psalm there, David speaks of the Lord in the word Jehovah, that word that is spelt in those capital letters, Lord. It means Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the God who is almighty, all-powerful from eternity to eternity. The Lord was well able to help David at his time of need. You'll see also from verse 8 of the psalm there that he tells us that such is the might of the Lord, that he made heaven and earth. He says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." He knows the greatness of God, the greatness of God's power. And that power was sufficient for every time of need and every circumstance. He acknowledges here the conquest of the Lord. Turn with me your Bible back to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Look with me, please, at verses 11 to verse 13 of that chapter. Here you have another example in the occasion of King Asa.
depending upon the Lord for conquest and victory and deliverance over his enemies, over the vast army of Ethiopia that was arrayed against him and God's people of old. And look at particular what he says in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee." So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with them pursued them unto Gerar. The Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. There you see how Asa, as he dealt with Ethiopia and the great army against him, he said of the Lord, "We rest on thee, and in thy name we go." He was resting on the Lord God Almighty, the covenant-keeping God of Israel, for strength and power and conquest and victory. And dear believer, in the meeting this morning, as the Lord, yes, was the protector of his people in the day of the psalmist David, and in the day of Asa of old, so believer, the Lord is your protector as well. You think of what this hymn writer says about the Lord, a sovereign protector I have unseen, yet forever at hand, says the hymn writer. Yes, Christian, in this world, the devil, he is your adversary. He's our foe. And believer, yes, the Lord, the devil will use anything, and he will use anyone, as it were, to attack you as a Christian, to hinder you in your walk with God, in your fellowship with God, and in your service for God. That's the devil's work. That's the devil's business. That's what he's always scheming about against God's people and against the church of Christ. Peter says of the devil, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants, as it were, to devour, to swallow up the Christian, the witness of the Christian, and the work of the church of God and the church of the redeemed. He is our implacable foe, the devil. But praise God, today we can say that Satan to Jesus must bow. Because Christ is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who breaks every chain, who gives us the victory again and again. Yes, dear Christian, as you go out to serve the Lord and live for the Lord in the world before you day by day, in your home, in your workplace, in your community, wherever the Lord leads you and guides you, yes, the devil does attack. But you can go forth even like Asa of old, who said of the Lord, "We rest on thee, and in thy name we go." You can go forward day by day, resting upon the Lord to deliver you from every attack of the evil one and every pitfall and plan and snare that he would set before you as God's child. This was something Paul himself acknowledged in his own life, writing to the church at Corinth. He spoke of the Lord's deliverance, and he says of the Lord, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Paul was confident that the Lord would deliver him from every evil work that was against him as a child of God, as he witnessed for Christ and served the Lord. Believer, you too can rest upon the Lord for victory, for conquest. Child of God, in the time of trouble, when Satan opposes, when he oppresses, when he attacks, you can depend upon the Lord for protection. You can depend upon the Lord for deliverance. You can depend upon the Lord for conquest. You think of the words of Nahum. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, he says there, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Nahum knew that the Lord was the victor of his people, that he was a stronghold, a refuge, a fortress, a rock for the people of God and the church of Christ. And believer, the Lord is your stronghold. in the day of trouble. Maybe I'm speaking to one today and you're right in the very midst of a day of trouble. Believer, let me encourage you today by saying the Lord's your rock, He's your fortress. He is your stronghold that you can resort to and run to, lean upon and depend upon. You think of Britain, how she was spared invasion by the Nazis in 1940 after the fall of Dunkirk. What was it that preserved the nation at that time? It was God. God's mercy, God's goodness, God's grace to this land, because people prayed. People sought God. People called upon God and looked to the Lord. And it was but the Lord's intervention and His merciful providence that spared these islands from invasion at that particular time. And the Lord preserved and protected our nation. Oh, the Lord is the one who gives conquest. My yes, the Lord is the one who is the companion of His people in the time of trouble. Notice one final thought here from this psalm. We can also say that in his day of trouble, that David, he acknowledges the Lord's excellency. Look at what he says in verse 6 and verse 7 of the psalm. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, who have not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped." In verse 6 there, David, he praises the Lord for hindering the enemy against him. He says, "Blessed be the Lord." He's praising God, who have not given us, he says, as a prey to their teeth. In verse 7, he praises God for helping him escape the snare of the enemy. He says, "Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken," he says, "and we are escaped." But he gives it all to the Lord. He acknowledges the Lord. He extols the Lord. He honors the Lord. He gives the glory of this deliverance all to the Lord. Takes nothing for himself or for man, but no, it's all to the Lord. He says, "Blessed be the Lord." And let us learn from this, dear people of God, believer, you and I also, we are to acknowledge and indeed thank God for His help, for His blessings in life, for His deliverances in life. Here, David was thanking the Lord. He was praising God when he says, "Blessed be the Lord." He was giving God thanks for His merciful deliverance and help at this time. And you and I also as Christians were to do the same. The psalmist says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And the hymn writer says, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices who wondrous things have done." We're to praise the Lord. People of God, yes, we're to be a people whose hearts are filled with thanksgiving to the Lord. That's to be the mark of our life as Christians. We're not to be like the 9 lepers who were healed yet never returned to thank the Lord for His mercy and His blessing. Yes, you and I as Christians, we're to praise the Lord for His blessings and salvation. We're to praise the Lord for all His mercies to us in life, day by day as the people of God. Turn back to Psalm 103. This is what we find the psalmist doing there in Psalm 103. Look at what he says in verses 2 to 5 of the psalm. He says there of the Lord, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." There David is thanking the Lord for salvation, for forgiveness of sins, for God's redeeming grace, God's redeeming mercy in his life, day by day. And his heart is full of praise to the Lord, full of thanksgiving to the Lord. Let me ask, child of God, in the meeting this morning, has the Lord helped you recently and blessed you in some particular way in your life? Yes, you've known His deliverance recently in some particular manner. Then, believer, acknowledge the Lord in this. Acknowledge the Lord's goodness. Give thanks to the Lord regarding the situation.
tell of His mercy, indeed testify of that mercy, even to others. That's what we are to do.
And by such an acknowledgement, believer, you'll be glorifying the Lord. For the Bible says, whosoever offereth praise, glorifieth God. As well as glorifying God, you'll be the means of encouraging others to trust the Lord, encouraging others to glorify Him in their life as well. Because the Bible says that none of us liveth unto himself. We are to be a people of praise who give thanks unto the Lord. Believer in Christ, you and I are not to live a life of murmuring or complaining, no. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, it says, do all things without murmurings, without disputings. My, such a testimony, it discourages other Christians. Such a testimony, it hinders the ungodly from coming to Christ. Indeed, such a testimony dishonors the Lord and brings reproach upon the name of the Lord. No. Our hearts and our lives as God's people are to be full of praise. Full of gratitude to the Lord for His salvation, for His goodness, for His mercy, for His blessings to us. And by such a testimony, yes, you and I will glorify the Lord in our life before others. Not only that, we'll have a testimony that will point others to Christ and draw others to the Savior. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and you'll see how this was so in the life of Paul and Silas. Look at what you read about them in Acts chapter 16, verses 23 and verse 24 and verse 25 of the chapter. They had been imprisoned, they had been beaten for their witness for Christ. And it says in Acts 16, verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, that's Paul and Silas, it says they cast them into prison. They were manhandled into prison, into a dungeon. And it says that they were cast into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Verse 25, and it says, and at midnight, in the darkness of the night, Paul and Silas complained, murmured, or grumbled. No, it doesn't say that. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And it says, and the prisoners heard them. Notice it, the prisoners heard them. They brought witness to Christ before the prisoners, before the jailer, before all who were in that prison compound. They sang the praises of God. They prayed to God. They gave thanks to God. And what was the outcome? Turn the page in your Bible. There was a great earthquake. The jailer was about to take his own life. And he said to Paul and Silas spoke to him and says, do thyself no harm, we are all here. And then he came before Paul and Silas trembling, and he asked that vital question, verse 30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He knew there was something special, different, extraordinary about these men, that they had something that he had not, something that he wanted in his heart and soul. And they said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that man was saved. He trusted the Lord. Look at verse 34. It says, he rejoiced. It says, believing in God with all his house. You know, if Paul and Silas had went there and complained and grumbled, things could have been very different for that jailer. But no, they went there and they prayed. They sang praises to God. They acknowledged the Lord's mercy and goodness to them. And they were a signpost for that old jailer to the Lord. And brethren and sisters in Christ, it's by a similar testimony that you and I in our daily life, in our workplace, in our homes, in our family, in our community also can be a witness for the Lord. Turn over there to Philippians chapter number 4. Look at what you read there in Philippians chapter number 4. And look at what Paul says to you and I who are saved in verse number 4 of the chapter. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. David says in another psalm, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's for you and I rejoicing in the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord,
bearing testimony to the Lord's goodness and mercy, dear people, that you and I can be a witness for Christ and a signpost for the Lord in this ungodly world. And friend, if you're in the meeting this morning, you're still unsaved, let me say this. If you are to glorify God in life and for all eternity in heaven, then you must receive God's salvation by trusting Christ as your Savior. Yes, presently in your unsaved condition, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're in the clutches of sin and Satan, no hope, bound for hell. But praise God, if you come by faith to Christ as a repentant sinner and trust in His sacrifice, trust in His blood alone for the cleansing away of your sin, God will save you. He will give you a new life. He will give you a home in heaven. He will forgive your sins. He will give you abundant life. We read that passage of Scripture earlier on in our meeting from John's Gospel, chapter 10. He says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And how did Christ purchase and provide this life for us? By His death on the cross. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. If you come by faith to Christ, you shall be saved. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Is it the desire of your heart today to be saved? Did you come to this meeting this morning with a burden in your heart to be saved? To know your sins forgiven, to be sure of heaven, to have eternal life? Christ says to those who are saved, He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Is it your desire today to be saved? To be in heaven, then come to Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Confess your sins to Him. Rest upon His grace. Trust Him as Savior. And then from this day forth, go forth to praise and glorify the Lord. And live for Him day by day. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 580. In our own hymn books, the final hymn, just in the order of service. The sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles and my comforts abound, His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul He delights to defend. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us in this meeting house this morning. Bless Thy word, bless Thy truth to every heart and soul as I would see the need. We thank Thee that we have in Christ a friend who faileth not, one who will never fail or forsake or cast off His people. One who said, I am with you always, even unto the world. Help us to rest upon Him day by day and to go forth depending upon His grace and strength in all the battles and trials of life. For any with us here today not saved, speak to them. And Lord, this day may they be saved. May they come and trust Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes and safely. Journey with us. Bless us throughout thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. For we pray and ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.